Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a
hump day.
Good morning. Happy hump day. How you doing, Randy?
What's happening, man? Man, I'm all good over here. Just almost burped in the mic. But
it's okay.
Man,
a little hiccup, we're good.
A hiccup right there, man. But what's happening, man? Yes, it is halfway, almost to the weekend.
God, these weeks, I swear, I know we say it every week, but the football season, man.
Yeah, man, I love the weekends, but it's just like, that's just, as soon as you get to it, it's like, damn, another football weekend gone. But yet, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun this week as, you know, we got obviously the Dogs aren't playing this weekend, but you do have the Falcons going up to Charlotte to take on Carolina in one of those situations where you're like, got a whole lot. You know, one of the most valuable things in the world is husband credit.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's something that most of us husbands, if you know, it's just you want to hang on to it until the right moment. But yet, you do anything damn stupid and you can lose all of it.
It can go
away so fast.
It's one of those things that I think you're saying this, right?
Right.
Like, it's way harder to earn than it is to lose.
Yes. Because, I mean, you can just leave a damn dish towel on the stove or something, or leave your socks, and all that credit that you done did is gone.
Somehow that is equivalent to the 6 hours of manual labor that you did on Saturday.
Yes. Yes.
I moved 2 tons of gravel. I did forget to fold that load of laundry.
Yes.
And I am sorry. And I will do it.
Right.
But those aren't equal.
No.
Like one of them, but they are equal.
They are equal. Yeah. 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 According to your wife, they are equal. So that's the thing with the Falcons built up some credit with the fan base and us.
They've got some husband credit.
Don't go up to Charlotte and lose it all.
Don't lose it.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been to Charlotte numerous times.
Me too, unfortunately.
And yeah. You for other reasons than me.
I'm going back.
You know, soon?
Yeah, pretty soon.
Oh, okay. Like this weekend?
Pretty soon. Fun little plan fell through because we're going in December. My brother was going to fly out. I had us passes to sit in the suite. Seahawks are playing the Falcons. All good. Nephew's turning one. Got to be a good uncle.
Yep. Yeah, they didn't like being at a one-year-old birthday party. The only way he's going to enjoy it if he takes a nap.
Right. Hey. He'll never remember it. He won't know one way or the other if I was there or not. My brother, who's 37, would absolutely love to go. But you know what I mean? You got to, you know, husband credit.
Yeah, dog.
Husband credit.
Sometimes it always goes back. It's just Randy how I view things. And I've been married a long time, so obviously it's working. Is she going to divorce me for this?
She wasn't going to. Yeah. No, she wasn't. Yeah. And she did the terrible thing of, you know what? Either way, it's up to you.
Yep.
Whatever you want to do. And I was like, okay, well, fine.
Don't do that to me.
I know what that
because
means.
I know we go the exact opposite ways. All right. You'd be like, damn. Yeah, we go the exact opposite way.
I got to make it further into it before I start doing that.
Yeah, dog.
Let me get the double digits.
Oh, I mean, look at this weekend. My niece, 21. Haley's turning 2 this year, this weekend. Birthday party's in L.A. Hmm. Oh, baby, we can go. We could fly out after work, and then we can come back Sunday. I don't know, baby. You know why? Because Georgia doesn't have a game. She knows when. Samson has a game. How about this? We fly out after the game. Just go. I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. Do you really need me to be there? Well, I mean, you can go if you want to go. That's all I needed.
I don't.
I don't. But, you know.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right about that. The Falcons have accumulated over the first two games, and especially last game. But there was some really good stuff in the first game, too. It's just harder to talk about it because missed the kick and didn't win.
Yep.
They've accumulated some goodwill. And I honestly feel like for the first time since I've covered them, and, you know, it's not forever, but it's about a decade. I don't remember hearing this amount of buzz about anything related to the defense.
No.
I don't ever remember.
It wasn't.
And it doesn't mean that it's going to be doesn't mean they're going to be the best defense in the world. It could all evaporate in the next month.
Yep.
They're going to play better offenses. They're going to play better quarterbacks. Yep. Like, a lot of stuff is still ahead of them to prove what they are. But you just kind of, you know, you read some national stuff, you listen to some national stuff, and the Falcons' defense comes up unprompted in a way that it never has, at least in my experience covering this football team, and especially about the pass rush. Like, nobody's, except for saying they're the worst at it, no one's talked about the Falcons' pass rush at all over the last 10, 15, 20 years. And here we are talking about a young, fun draft class, obviously, but then just a defense that, you know, there's all kinds of, it's so early to be doing like big picture numbers and stuff like that. But there's a lot of early returns on this defense that are really positive and that are getting people to talk about them and look at them in a way that I don't ever remember happening.
Well, I mean, because it's been, you know, because you haven't. I mean, I think that's the thing with it is, and we have fun with the whole credit thing, but you can't go up there and allow Bryce Young to have a day against you. You know, I mean, we talked about his home opener, all the things, they're coming off two hard road losses. And he has not played up to par. We were talking yesterday about Leggett. He's getting the approval. That's usually the sign where they're going to try to feed him, and then he balls. They got a lot of young pass catchers, but their offensive line is banged up. And that should bode well for a team that's coming off of the pressure that they will put on. I understand that, you know, A.J. is going to – well, they haven't officially said anything, right?
No.
Okay.
No official word on A.J.
No official word on him, yeah, or whatever. I do expect Brick to be aggressive again with – Bryce Young as their quarterback, you know, but he's a guy that can, he has great escapability. He's a little dude, but he has that, you know, being able to spit out or drop the shoulder and, you know, create some time for himself. So you're going to have to, you know, be in your rush lanes and all those things. But I just think the aggressiveness that they came out with and the I'm going to kick your ass mentality that their defensive line had, I mean, that's something that is not a game-to-game matchup.
Right.
That's who you are.
Right. That's an attitude.
Yeah, that's who you are. That's what you think of yourself. And so they do got some bona fide butt kickers on this defense. Now, they're young, but at the same time, you see the potential that if they adopt that mentality. It's one thing to talk about the mentality. It's another thing to adopt it. But if you adopt it, it means you got to go do it. And so through 2 weeks, they've done it just once. Obviously, they weren't bad against Baker or Tampa or anything like that, but they just weren't as effective as they were today.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a clear difference, though, right?
Yes.
Like, they were pretty similarly aggressive against Baker. Baker's just better.
Yep.
You know?
He's able to get out of it.
Baker's a better quarterback, smarter, been around longer, and one of the things that he's really good at is you over-pursue, he's going to sneak up in the pocket, and he's going to go get some dirty yards. Like, that's something that Baker's really good at. Or getting the ball out just before you get him on the ground. Like, J.J. McCarthy is he's certainly athletic, right? He's certainly an athletic quarterback who can move a little bit. But he's been a disaster.
Yes.
Like, and he's hurt, and he's going to be out for a little while. Maybe the best thing for him, we'll see. I hope the Falcons' aggressiveness and physicality and all that stuff, that attitude, whether you want to call it an identity, however far you want to go with it through two games, I hope it continues, and I don't doubt that it will. You just know that. We talked about this before the season started when they were talking about that being what they were going to do. Sometimes that's going to bite you in the ass against smarter players.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, it's also going to work at times too. You're going to be able to come up with those big splash plays, whether it's a strip sack or an interception or something like that. You're probably going to pay for it with some big plays that you allow too against good players. I hope that they can make a lot of other quarterbacks look like J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah.
I don't anticipate they're going to be able to do that against some of the better quarterbacks they play.
Yeah.
Bryce Young's not one of those guys.
No, he's not.
He's fine, but you should be able to make him look – you can give him a hard day.
But I think, yeah, you can give him a hard day, but I think even the most veteran of quarterbacks, you pressure him, you're going to affect him.
Sure.
You know, I think that's just – you know, that's the one thing about, you know, the league is it's about protecting the passer and affecting the passer. I mean, that's just where what games are won and lost. Now, obviously, you can't allow them to get this run game going. If you're the Falcons, by Chuba Hubbard and Rico Dowdle came over from Dallas, if I'm mistaken. And you can't allow them to have that two way to make them a more of a one dimensional type team. But I mean, their backs are against the wall, and that's one of those things where you just don't ever want to lose your momentum to a team backs against the wall, because like Mike Cotty said, they don't have the best of, you know, times up there in Charlotte. We've understood that. but yet you can end that all. And you could take their soul so early. Like this team, and I hate saying it, but this team, if you get jump on them early, you know, they'll be like they'll have that mentality just like the past 2 weeks. Oh, here we go again.
Yeah, I'm interested because last week they were down 27-3.
And fought back.
And then threw the ball a lot, right? It's like they became one-dimensional. And actually, I'm talking about the Panthers, that is. They were getting smoked by the Cardinals. They became one-dimensional and actually played better when they did that, right? Yeah. They were just like, all right, no more running the football. Bryce Young's going to hit because, again, they're down 3 scores in the second half of that game. And they fought their way back into it. They had the ball, and the Cardinals kept committing just atrocious penalty after atrocious penalty. They had the ball moving it down the field before Calais Campbell's 39-year-old self was able to get Bryce Young on the ground and win the game. That somehow they made that game interesting. And that's also the Cardinals, too. Yes. Like, the Cardinals are one of those teams that'll have that and then another half like that. I think you're right. I think you can smack them in the mouth early and make them question what is going on. But you don't go up to Charlotte and lose all that momentum.
Don't go up there tricking.
No.
All right, you're a better team. I saw the line is 5.5.
You have to win the games that you're supposed to win.
Especially when they're in this division, especially when you've already lost a division game. Mm-hmm. You know, you just don't want that, you know. And obviously we're talking about other NFL games. Chargers are in the Chargers. They win this weekend. They could be 3-0 in the AFC West. You know, so you don't want, because we know this, division games are a game and a half. You don't want to be in the situation where you're behind Carolina and Tampa and basically giving, you know, I won't say uphill climb, because you still got to go play. You can still beat Tampa and Tampa, and obviously Carolina has to come here and play the Saints yet.
Right.
And they're awful.
Well, there's always the outlier example, like last year, the Falcons beat Tampa twice and still didn't win the division. Yes. So it can happen.
Yes.
But it goes a long way.
Yes.
It really helps when you're able to win those games. Tampa's good. Like, you know, it wouldn't have surprised me at the beginning of the year if you told me the team split the games that they played.
Right.
Now, Falcons have to win the next one in order for that to be true. Panthers aren't good. They're not particularly good. You should be able to beat them both times. Same thing with the Saints, which then if you do that, then you're 5-1 in the division. You probably win the division.
Yeah.
I'll say probably, never know.
We'll leave it at probably. Yeah. How about that? Yeah, we'll leave this thing at a probably, because as great as it was to watch them play last week, they just have not played with that kind of consistency. I mean, they never had a game like that, first of all. I'm talking about defensively, about the Falcons. But, okay, they don't get 6 sacks every game, or 6 sacks is like, can you get 4?
Sure, that'd be great.
Yeah, can you get 4?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, don't go from 6 to over a team, it is banged up offensive line.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that they will. I mean, I think that that's something that we count on. Hopefully, again, I'm hopeful again on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's been a long time, never. We've never been able to talk about the pass rush as a weapon. So I'm hesitant to go too far as to say that it's a weapon yet. I hope that it will be.
You hope so?
Yeah, man. I do. I think you do, too.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
I think you do, too. I got to see it a little bit more. The sack envy is not completely gone. It's curable.
I mean,
it's doing better.
Is it like, but it's not fully cured?
It's not flaring up currently, but it can flare back up, man. Right. Like, you don't get Bryce Young on the ground on a Sunday. You got symptoms. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending here on a hump day. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, obviously we got to go look at the tape. You know, it's a new year, new team, but, you know, they beat us last time. They make no mistake about it. They beat us last time with their quarterback and this head coach, you know, this defensive coordinator and all those guys, and a lot of guys I got a lot of respect for and like look forward to playing them, and it's going to be a great game, and I can't wait to get out there and do it. We're going to go through our process like we always do, come up with our solutions, come up with ideas, go out there and try to execute it and try to get another win.
There you go. That's Raheem after the game on Sunday talking about turning the page to Carolina, and he's right. Last time they played, Carolina scored 44 points on.
Yep.
Now, you know, there's context and all that stuff, but I'm not paying attention to any of that. I'm paying attention to the fact that last time they played Carolina, Carolina scored 44 points on them.
Yep.
Now, the Falcons scored 38 or whatever it was. So that's good. Hopefully they can do that again. But, yeah, there's no overlooking any of this, obviously. I mean, we can, I guess, but they can't, and we won't either. That's the next opponent, man. You got Carolina on Sunday. A great opportunity to go to 2-1, which feels, you know, like it feels like a real accomplishment after the negative vibes surrounding week one.
Yeah.
Like week one's a game you could have won. I won't say you should have won, but you certainly could have won that game. Mm-hmm. It ended in an incredibly frustrating fashion, which led to a frustrating week of conversations about kickers. Then you go out there and do what you did against Minnesota. And, you know, Minnesota had some good momentum coming off the way that they had beaten Chicago late in the game in their first week. So to get that and the way you did it, and then if you can get Carolina to be 2-1, that feels pretty good given how hard we know that the opening stretch of this season is schedule-wise. And given where it was not too long ago, about a week ago, it didn't feel like that.
No, I think because of the, like you just said, the frustration in how you lost the football game. It always is going to, especially when it seems like it's always your team that it happens to. And so you can be, that frustration was rightfully warranted. But yet, you know, they were able to bounce back, have a nice win. And now you got, it's always hard to say you got momentum after 2 weeks of football. But I mean, you're in a situation where you can get some more good graces because you will be a game above 500 with an opponent coming into your house that, in my opinion, is beatable.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
and but, probably won't have their quarterback.
Yes, but you got to get this one first. And it will be a damn shame if they go up to go up to Charlotte and have a letdown. Yeah. This team is not very good. All right. I mean, they got some good players. Like the battle you're going to watch for, we were talking about it before the show, like J.C. Horn and Drake London. Mm-hmm. J.C. Horn is one of the best corners in ball.
Yep.
Drake London is not 100% healthy. So it might be, but somebody else has got to step up.
Derrick Brown's awesome.
Derrick Brown is awesome one of the best players at his position in ball. You know, they got some dudes that can make plays on offense, but yet the quarterback is who the quarterback is. He's a gifted player. I want to take nothing away from him. He's a gifted. He has a lot of gifts. And you saw those on display when he threw a damn touchdown pass and turned around before it even got to the receiver.
He did.
Now, the dude was wide the hell open because of a busted coverage.
Both the receiver and the quarterback were no Falcons were near them.
No. So I'll hang it up on that. But, yeah, I think, you know, new year, all those different things, but they still have the same issues that they had until they came in here and beat your ass.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Yeah.
So.
Cleanse the palate on that one.
You know what I mean?
Go up there and get them.
Yeah. Especially because you're better than them.
Yeah.
The Falcons are a better football team.
Yeah, definitely.
Than Carolina Panthers.
They also are, you know, they're one of the worst franchises in the NFL.
Yes, no doubt about it.
Like,
no doubt about it.
The owner's still the owner.
Yes.
He hadn't done anything crazy lately, but just a matter of time.
Yeah, but you think about stupid. You think about, even though with that old perv that they had before this dude, they had great pride for players.
Yeah.
They won
a lot of games.
They won a lot of games. You know, they had a hard-nosed coach who riverboat and all those different things like that. They had a spectacular showman at quarterback.
He was a creepy old pervert.
Yeah.
But he did let the football people do their
football
jobs.
Stuff.
Now, exactly. Again, I agree that he should have not been the owner anymore because he was a creepy, terrible old pervert.
Yes.
But this guy is all meddling.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So we, I guess,
did you see,
6-1, half a
did
dozen
you see the,
other.
The pictures of Jim Irsay, the daughter?
I have.
Whoa.
I know.
Like, I know it's your team.
It's great.
It's your team.
I love it.
And you can do whatever you want. And I do believe that. But having the headset on
and taking notes.
Taking notes with a play sheet.
Yeah.
Like, that's new.
Yeah, she's the owner of the team, right?
Yes.
So she's on the sideline with the headset on where the play callers are calling plays to the end of the game.
Yes.
With a notepad taking notes for, I guess, further evaluation.
That's crazy.
Which is, I love it so much.
Why?
Because it's going to make people uncomfortable. Because she's a woman who doesn't know that much about football.
She was born and raised in football. I think she knows a whole lot about football.
Probably. But people are going to make that assumption. She never coached football or whatever. But it's going to make people
mad. I saw that picture. I was like, and then they had different. I was like, well, I'd be damned.
Yeah.
On the sideline. The
other thing, because we always say that about other owners with crap they do. Well, they own the team. And what they do is awful. It's way worse than that. All she's doing is taking notes.
But yeah, you know what I mean? I never said it before.
She's not grabbing anybody's ass or anything
I've never in my life seen that before.
You got Jerry Jones doing 2 media availabilities a week, trading his best player for no reason.
No damn reason.
You know? All she's doing is investing in her team. That's all she's doing.
No, she's looking she's going to have to make a decision. Now, they're off to a good start. 2-0. You know they haven't punted yet?
I did know that.
Yeah, they haven't even punted the ball yet,
They have yet to punt this season.
Yeah, dog. It's just unbelievable, man.
It's pretty cool because, their coach, Shane Steichen, that guy's a good football coach.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
It was a bad situation. Yes. And it was his fault because he co-signed on Anthony Richardson and all that. But now, it's not like Daniel Jones is the world beater or anything like that, but a serviceable quarterback, and now you can do some stuff with it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Again, it's 2 weeks. Who knows? Yeah. The wheels could completely fall off. No, I saw her on the sideline, and I was like, oh, I can't wait.
It was so funny.
People are going to be fired up about this one. They're not going to like that. Hey, the Braves won twice yesterday.
All right.
Let's listen to a little bit of it.
Olsen, it's fair. He takes an 0-2 curveball and rips it down the line. It rattles around in the corner. It's going to clear the bases. And Olsen wants 3. He's got it. A 3 RBI triple.
You got to be
ball's got to rattle around a lot from Matt Olsen to get the triple. Third.
It's got
to
be, it got to get stuck in the mud or something for Matt Olsen to get a triple. But Big Man was humping, dog. He was getting around them bases, man. But
Man was humping.
Well, I think the great thing was Chris Sale was outstanding. Coming off of a start where Spencer Strider was outstanding, and we talked about going through the offseason with some good, as my man Bo says, Gregory. The one handed damn assist from I sure stop your name.
Kim.
Yeah,
Hassan Kim.
Marcel Kim.
Hassan.
I thought you said Hassan. Oh, Hassan, ready?
It sounds like that. Just say Hassan.
Hassan, all right.
Well, put a G on the end.
Yeah, Hassan.
Okay. Right. Hassan. The G silent.
Nope.
Oh, it's Hassan.
Hassan, yeah.
Okay, I thought it was Hassan. Mm-hmm. All right, but anyway.
Well, you thought it was Marcel 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, I know. You know how I am with names. Sometimes it sounds better when I say it that way.
Marcel Kim would be a nice name.
Hell yeah, it would be. But, this is a great – well, we know he's going to be shortstop going into next season and everything. It's a great play by him.
If he chooses to be,
which – from what you hear, when he got here, he wanted to come to the Braves.
Right.
So it does seem like he'll opt into his player contract. Wouldn't be surprised if they tried to sneak another 2 years on the back end of it.
Right.
Like Alex likes to
do. If he hits a couple more home runs.
Yeah, like Alex likes to do, sneak it a couple 2 years on the back end of it.
He'll get a 5-year, $36 million deal.
Yeah, something like that. Wouldn't be surprised if that happened. But, didn't know how the game was going to be played out because, eighth inning, it just starts pouring down. Yep. Game's delayed, tarps on the field, but were able to get it in. And, good for Braves, 2 wins in a row, man.
Yeah, 3 in a row. I think 4 in a row because they won on Sunday, too.
Okay, I know they took this from the Nationals, who are, again, a hot garbage.
Yeah, they're bad.
Cheeks.
They're very bad.
Yeah.
They're very bad. But the Braves are pretty bad, too, so it's good for them to
they're
get a couple
wins.
They're
not as bad as them,
though. They're not as bad as them. That is right. Yes. We'll hang our hat on that one. Yeah. They're not going to finish in last place in the division. The Dream got smoked last night, man.
Dude.
They lost the Indiana Fever 77-60, so now it's a must-win game 3 on Thursday here in Atlanta.
You want to talk about a physical damn basketball game? Because me and Samson were flipping back last night just watching it. Boy, Indiana was physical. And a lot of them was a little questionable. Like, it seemed like
they were letting them get away with it.
Yeah, they were letting them get away with a lot of stuff against the Dream and everything. But, winner takes all, they're coming back home to a great crowd. I anticipate they'll get this one done.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's one thing I saw about last night. It was ultra, ultra physical from the Fever.
Some players named to weekly awards. Drew Bobo, Outland National Player of the Week.
They do that?
I guess.
Okay.
Gunnar Stockton was Davey O'Brien National Quarterback of the Week.
All right.
And the kicker from Tech and Georgia, Aiden Burr and Peyton Woodring, both named as Lou Groza Award Stars
of
the Week.
Nice. That's
Never heard of it. I didn't know they gave out. I know they give those out at the end of the year. I didn't know they had weekly awards.
Yeah,
those.
Probably get a nice little plaque or something like that.
Man, you know what I'm saying? I mean, great job. Great job. That means you played well. Mm-hmm. Good for Drew Bobo. Obviously, he gets a lot of slap because Bobo was his dad. He's a damn good player.
It was a good weekend for him and his dad.
Yeah, he's a damn good
player.
Don't
you think?
Hell yeah, get off my damn back.
He scored 44 points on the road.
Hey, guys, this Saturday from noon to 2, join Ali Mack at Suns, Kia, and McDonough. For Sunday's big game, and one lucky fan will win the ultimate tailgate kit, a 50-inch 4K smart TV with a rolling stand and other prizes, plus winners take home tickets to an upcoming home game. Again, that's this Saturday from noon to 2 at Suns, Kia, and McDonald with my gal, Ali Mack.
All right, first hour of the show brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Dave Archer stops by for his weekly up next. Talk about his win over the Vikings on Sunday night. Start turning the page to the game against Carolina as 92.9 the game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What? How can you not feel satisfied after that, Dave?
I feel pretty satisfied.
Yes. Dave listened to this right here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
This is how you feel after that win. Hey, this hour of the Midday Show with Andy and Randy is brought to you by Bobby Jones Golf Course Atlanta. Golf open to everyone. Visit BobbyJonesGC.com. Dave Archer joins us on Wednesdays at 11:40 to talk Falcons, and obviously a lot of fun to look back on and talk about that win that they had on Sunday night. Arch, how are you?
Fellas, great to be with you. Randy's got to be flying high behind the dogs this weekend. How'd you pull that one out of the bag, Randy?
Never any doubt.
No?
Okay. Never any doubt. Right. Never.
Only trailed five different times in the game to end up coming up with a win on a fourth down throw from a guy that supposedly can't throw the ball. Unbelievable.
Never any doubt, Dave.
Yeah. Randy told us on Friday exactly how it was going to happen. It was just like
okay.
That.
Never
I don't know.
Doubt. Never any doubt.
I don't know why people didn't listen.
Very calm. Very calm.
Very calm. Let's start with, I think, the thing that most people are talking about coming out of that win on Sunday for the Falcons, the six sacks, the pass rush. Just describe to us what you saw from that unit against the Vikings.
Well, I thought that, you know, they were pretty relentless in week one, Andy. And, you know, you got all the numbers and analytics that come out that they were top five in a pressure scenario in week one. I think the message from Jeff Ulbrich to his group is, hey, we're close. Let's just finish plays. I thought the thing that they did better than they did in week one, Andy, was they were much more had integrity in how they're rushed, but were relentless with the continued pressure. And I think because they stayed where they were supposed to be and rushed from where they were supposed to be, that they were able to get home. And I think that one of the things being discounted is that this is a group that hasn't played very much together. You're talking about the young guys up front. Dorlus and Roro played, what, 8 games and 2 games, 10 games combined last year. You got Leonard Floyd new on this defense. You got the two young guys from the SEC that are young. Those stunts and stuff, and Randy will tell you, the stunts, that takes some effort to be able to time those up and how those work with the linebackers coming from the second level as well. I think they're just growing as a defense, and it came together. In that game, doesn't mean it's going to come together again this weekend, but it does show that they're growing, and I think they're learning the timing and learning how to play together.
What about, Dave, you go back, and like you said, the sacks and all those different things, but what did they do as far as in the back end of that you see, Dave? Was it more this mixing of trying to mix up the coverage just to confuse the young guy, making him hold the ball a little longer? And there has not been an injury designation yet for A.J., but how did that change when he went down?
Well, so much has been made about the two defensive coordinators we played against, right? Randy, right. You talk about Todd Bowles and what Flores brings to the table. Jeff Olbrich's got a lot of stuff that you have to deal with, too, if you're a quarterback, and especially if you're just in your second start of your NFL career and you start looking at some of the stuff that Olbrich dials up, double A gap pressures. All of a sudden, you slide the line inside and Ellis is out on the edge, and all the different looks and then the different stunts that are coming, and you mix that in with what they're doing in the back end, hugging up to the receiver, backing off away from the receiver, being able to switch things off when they go to bunch looks. I thought that all that in the back end, as much as we talk about the timing and how they played together in the front seven with their rush package, I thought that came together in the back end as well. And I thought you saw that the young players, Billy Bowman, learning what he can get away with and can't get away with as a nickel, very similar to Xavier Watts. Well, how deep am I supposed to be? Remember, too shallow on the throw to Abuka, which led to a touchdown in that early part of the game. He was back where he was supposed to be, so when the ball was thrown deep, he was able to rally over and make the interception. Again, learning how to play at this level. What can I get away with? What can't I get away with? As far as A.J. Terrell goes, you guys know as well as I do, hamstrings are not an easy thing to deal with. It looked like, from what I could see, you guys saw the same thing. It looked like a change of direction. So you tweaked it. He probably tweaked it pretty good in AJ. I didn't think we don't change defense. He doesn't travel with the wide receivers. So Olbrich doesn't do that. So you'll probably get D. Alford. If AJ can't go, D. Alford will start at the corner spot. I thought D came in and did a really good job. Remember, they had him playing nickel the middle part of through the middle part of training camp, and then switched him the last 2 weeks to get him reps at corner. He actually started at corner in the preseason, that last preseason game. So he's got reps there. That's actually where his bread was buttered when he came from Canada, played up in Winnipeg, played the corner spot on a championship team up there. I thought he came in and did a really good job out there. They're not going to change defense. It will not affect how they play. They'll still mix the coverages.
We talked last week, Dave, about how the offensive line was going to be motivated to go out there and show that they can play better than they did in week one. They certainly did that. What did you see from them that led to that great performance, obviously, from them and the rushing attack?
Well, just first of all, like you're talking about, Andy, just the you know, being a little bit irritated with the way you played the weekend before, right? And there's no tighter group, Randy will tell you, on a team than an offensive line group. And so they were told all week long how they weren't physical enough, they weren't very good, and that's not who this group is. So they rallied up and just kind of stuck their chest out and said, wait a minute, we'll show you what we can do from a physicality standpoint. Mix in that with what Zach Robinson did from a game plan standpoint. You know, so much was made with us running it out of the pistol set. He essentially went to a pistol eye set where we got Charlie Warner inside, and Charlie Warner was landed up almost like an offset eye fullback, and they did a lot of eye formation, ISO stuff. This had to warm Randy's heart coming back from Georgia, and that eye formation, ISO coming downhill, unbelievable. I thought it was really cool the way you got after him in that regard with a little bit of a different set. And then Keegan Quatoriano came in and played some tight end where you had actual tight end blocking on the edge, and Charlie in the backfield played a lot of 12 personnel in the game where you had two tight ends in the game, and you were able to get after him physically that way. So I think coupled with the gumption that we're going to play better on the offensive line, and then a little bit of an adjustment, that's something Minnesota hadn't seen with that two tight end set.
You know, I love that, Dave. You know, I love that 12 personnel because I've been hollering about it for the last 2 years. But it was good to see him. And I know it's a week-to-week game plan, everything like that. So, obviously, it's something that, you know, you never know if you'll get back to it. But I wanted to ask you a question because we talked last week about, you know, the sometimes it's always it's forgetful unless it goes bad. The special teams, I thought special teams-wise, I know the kicking was 5 for 5, Dave, but I thought the returns and also the coverage was really good on Wednesday. I mean, on Sunday.
You're all over it, Randy. They were – that was another piece of the game that – I know they had the big punt return, which set up a short field opportunity for Tampa in week one. But their coverages, you're right, the kickoff coverage units were a little porous. They were able to punch that ball out over the 30. If you get that ball in the landing zone, you want to make those tackles maybe inside the 20, but certainly inside the 30-yard line to make them go a little bit further to score points. And they didn't do that very well in week one. I thought they were much better in week two. I completely agree. Their coverage units are outstanding. Got the turnover Now, Mike Ford was phenomenal. I think he had three tackles on coverage units, both kickoff return and punt return. Of course, he had the fumble recovery at the end to kind of seal the game with the takeaway. So, Marquise Williams' group really stepped up as well. I think they had a little something to prove to themselves in week two.
Dave Archer joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, Falcons Radio Network analyst, talking about the win over Minnesota. And we'll get into Carolina in just a few minutes as well. What do they need to do to be more effective in the red zone, Dave?
Yeah, I think just make the plays, Andy. I don't think if you go back and look at the tape, we have some protection issues from time to time. I thought that Michael missed a couple opportunities. He had Pitts on a play that I know Randy is screaming when he comes back the hole on. He's a tight, nasty split right side, runs the bend route over the top, two deep coverage, runs it around the linebacker, is open in the middle. Now it's a tight window throw, much like the one he made against Washington to send the game to overtime on fourth down last year on Sunday night. He had that shot, didn't take it. He dumped it off in the flat. He also had Pitts lined up solo left side in bump and run coverage. That's a shot I'm going to take. I got a 6'6" receiver. I'm going to put him up to bat. And then I thought the receivers, Randy, I'd be interested to know what you thought. I thought the receivers, there was a lack of urgency coming out of the routes. You know, when you get down there in that tight zone, I've got to be urgent with my route. I'm not talking about shortening it, but I've got to be, I got to have an idea that I'm going to get out of the break. I'm not going to lollygag out of the break or kind of bend out of the break. I got to snap it off. And I thought Michael made a couple of good throws, one to Darnell Mooney on one side of the field and one to Ray McCloud, where the sense of urgency on the routes wasn't very good. So talking about O-line, talking about Penix, he's got to make better throws. And I thought the urgency of the receivers wasn't very good.
What about using his legs maybe down there? About Michael.
So that's the quarterback getting out?
Yeah.
You want to move? You want him to move the quarterback?
Yeah, I'm
or you
saying,
want him
like,
to take off?
In a situation where you having him, because we know he can run out, you don't want to design runs and read options and everything like that, but maybe sometimes maybe throw him off because of, you know, something. He is a little bit more fast and athletic than most people think he is, because, you know, they always say about the same thing about Michael, well, the injuries and all those different things. Michael can move when he's out there.
Yeah. No, I agree. It's a good thought. I think that I would prefer not to cut his field in half for him, Randy. When you get down there, it's such a tight area anyway.
Right.
I think it helps the defense defend you if you move him to one side of the field, and now he's just got 50% or 33% of the field to throw to, and I can't really layer receivers top to bottom because there's just not a lot of room down there. I do like the idea of spreading them out and going empty if you can protect, and then let him take off on the impromptu like he did against Tampa. I think there's no question about that.
There's only a couple guys in the NFL through 2 weeks that have more all-purpose yards than Bijan. Week one, it was catching the ball. Sunday night, it was running the ball. What are you seeing? I know we've seen him be excellent before, but is there anything new? Is there anything different, like a wrinkle to his game that you're seeing through 2 weeks?
Well, first of all, Andy, you no longer refer to him as Bijan. It's now Mr. Robinson and or the Matrix. Okay, that's what I've nicknamed him is the Matrix. Now,
it makes it easier, too, because people can't figure out Bijan or Bijan. So I'll just go Mr.
Right,
Robinson.
Right.
That makes
and
it
so
easier.
So you either take the blue pill where he completely undresses you with about five moves and makes you miss in a phone booth, or you take the red pill where he just runs by you.
Well, so you know
it's either
I'm a blue
in
pill
the
guy.
Matrix.
Everybody knows that. This is this show.
Yeah. Well, you're doing the advertisements for us, so I figured I knew you were going. I think that what he's doing, Andy, as we talked about those young guys in the secondary, what can I get away with? What can't I get away with? Now, that spectrum is a lot larger for Mr. Robinson because of his abilities and what he can do. But I do think he's figured out, okay, what can I do here? Can I accelerate around the corner and get by this guy? Or do I need to shut it down, make a move, and bounce back to the inside? I think he's figured out what he needs to do at this level to maybe take his game to the next level. And if he takes his game to another level, guys, I mean, we had 1,500 yards rushing last year and almost 500 yards receiving. If he goes to another level, we're talking about the best running back in the National Football League, and I think he's one of the three best right now.
Got about a minute, Dave. Give me what you think about Carolina. Obviously, they're off to an 0-2 start, but the last time they did play each other here in Atlanta, it was 40 points.
Yeah, it's weird how they were beat up defensively a year ago. They went out, and they've got eight different guys that are starting on their defense from a year ago. They went out and really jumped into the free agency market. They're huge in the middle. I know you know that, Randy. I mean, Derrick Brown, Bobby Brown, A'shaun Robinson, Cam Jackson. These guys are gigantic. You're talking about 320 plus all of those guys in the interior. It'd be interesting to see if you could kind of hem those bigger guys in, and all of a sudden Atlanta's run game on the perimeter comes to life a little bit more, as opposed to running some of those I formation ISO plays out of the pistol like we did this last weekend. Maybe this is a little bit more sealed to the inside, get to the perimeter and run. They've got a lot of young players on their team. They've made a lot of mistakes. I think they're just trying to get better week to week. I don't know that they're looking at the win-loss column as much as they would like to win, but I think it's going to be a challenge there. As far as our defense against them, I would got to figure Bryce Young comes in with a pretty good feeling after he played here in week 18, right?
Yeah.
No doubt. Arch, we appreciate it, as always.
Appreciate
Thank you,
Dave.
Great talking to you all. Take care, man.
Dave Archer there, Atlanta Falcons Radio Network analyst, joins us every single Wednesday at this time to break down what happened the previous Sunday or Monday or Thursday or whatever, and the upcoming game as well. And pretty smart just to go to Mr. Robinson, because remember he did the interview preseason and said,
yes.
Now it's Bijan, that's what my mom calls me. And they did another one like a week ago and said Bijan again.
Yeah.
What's supposed to do?
His mom prefers Bijan. He prefers Bijan. So
well, if his mama call, if his, hey, his,
mama
hey.
Call him Clay, I'm going to call him
exactly.
Clay.
His mama call him Bijan, I'm going to call him Bijan.
See, you can't even do
See,
it
I
right
can't
there.
Even do it right there.
You know what I mean?
I don't like
it's so confusing.
Bijan.
I know, I don't either.
Bijan.
I don't either.
I'm for the country. We say B. We don't say B.
I like
like pecan.
Yeah.
No, pecan.
How do you guys say that?
Pecan.
Pecan. I say pecan sometimes. I say aunt. I don't ever say auntie.
Okay. I do think I think I say the nut different every time I say it. I say pecan. I say pecan.
I don't say pecan too much.
Pecan. Pecan. Like, pecan.
Is that you got a pecan tree?
I don't know. Hey. I thought we did. It turns out it's just a bitter nut tree.
I remember that.
You can't make anything with those. Nothing. Baseball bats because it's hickory, but I mean, I don't have a lathe. All right. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon. My dad does, but it's a small one. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.